We are back, and you are listening to The Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik. I'm Wilmer Leon, joined here by my co-host, Garland Nixon.
Thank you, Wilmer.
Presidents Putin and Xi united at Olympics. They aired their shared grievances about an absent U.S. amid this Ukraine standoff. What does all of this really mean? Well, let's turn to our next panel. Our first panelist leads the Speaking Truth to Power section of Tell the World, a publishing arm of the Ecumenical Church of the Savior in inner city Washington. He chaired the CIA's National Intelligence Estimates in preparing the President's Daily Brief. He co-created Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray McGovern, as always, Ray, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're also joined by a former U.S. Marine Corps intelligence officer, author of Scorpion King, America's Suicidal Embrace of Nuclear Weapons from FDR to Trump. He served in the Soviet Union as an inspector implementing the INF Treaty, served in General Schwarzkopf's staff during the Gulf War, and from 91 to 98, served as a chief weapons inspector with the UN in Iraq. He's also the author of a latest piece on RT, A War with Russia Would Be Unlike Anything the U.S. and NATO Have Ever Experienced. Scott Ritter, as always, Scott, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So President Putin is in China, went there for the Olympics at the invitation of President Xi. They released a joint statement, and I want to read just a few segments of it. Today, the world is going through momentous changes, and humanity is entering a new era of rapid development and profound transformation. A trend has emerged towards redistribution of power in the world, and the international community is showing a growing demand for the leadership aiming at peaceful and gradual development. The sides, being China and Russia, call on all states to pursue well-being for all and, with these ends, to build dialogue and mutual trust, strengthen mutual understanding, champion such universal human values as peace, development, equality, justice, democracy, so on, so on, so on. Ray McGovern, I don't have any problem with that. The only thing missing, Joe Biden should have been in the room. Unfortunately, he didn't go. Ray McGovern.
Well, Wilmer, you picked a good way to start here. Those are passages that I have underlined as well.
I was channeling my inner Ray McGovern. That's what I was doing.
What I'd like to note is that the next sentence says, some actors representing but the minority on the international scale continue to advocate unilateral approaches. What would that be, you know?
Oh, man.
This is a masterpiece of acrimony directed at the U.S. without ever mentioning them, but there's no need to mention them because it's all very clear what this is aimed at. Now, I'd like to point out one more thing in this introductory part. They talk about, both sides. They recognize that, quote, every nation has its own unique national features, history, culture, social system, level of social and economic development, universal nature of human rights, so forth. Well, you know, that's right out of the New York Times. New York Times? Yeah. September 11th, 2013, after Putin plucked Obama's coals out of the fire on Syria. Obama was being very, very strongly pressured to attack Syria openly with our armed forces. Putin gave him a way out. Most people know that those chemical weapons in Syria were all destroyed because Putin persuaded Assad to do that. So this was a nice op-ed. Okay, this is Putin saying, and I quote, my working and personal relationship with Obama is marked by growing trust. But, okay, the Russian for that is однако, and it's always the punchline. It is extremely dangerous to claim what makes you exceptional, to encourage people to see themselves exceptional without whatever the motivation. There are big countries, there are small countries, rich and poor, those with long democratic traditions and those finding their way to democracy. Their policies differ too, We're all different, but when we ask for the Lord's blessings, we must not forget that God created us equal, end quote, end of op-ed, New York Times, September 11, 2013. Well, that wording is exactly the same, and there are other things in the joint declaration which are very much worthy of note, which you could talk about as we go along here. But in a word, they emphasize China's support for very specific things like preventing NATO enlargement, calming down things in Ukraine, working on preventing intermediate-range and short-range ballistic missiles from being emplaced in places where they can hit Moscow, for example, or places in China, all manner of things like this. So this is kind of seeing is believing. I'll just finish this little thing by saying I've been pointing out, trying to educate folks to realize that there's a big difference that happened about mid-year last year, and that was when the Chinese came to Putin's support. Putin realized the U.S. had no idea that China and Russia were very close together on these things, and that, in my view, explains the timing of why all of a sudden Putin started feeling his oats and adopted this very, very assertive posture, which, thank goodness, the U.S. has not rejected out of hand, but agreed to negotiate on.
Scott Ritter.
Well, I would just, I take a slightly different thing. Putin's not being reasonable. And what I mean by that is he doesn't give a damn what the United States thinks anymore. What we're witnessing today is the equivalent of Pickett's charge at Gettysburg, with the United States and NATO being Pickett. It's the high water point of NATO. NATO's finished. It's over, done, goodbye. It may take a couple more years for NATO to come to that realization, but with Russia and China united against NATO expansion, it's game, set, match. It's over. Putin's not negotiating with America. America will come around to Putin's demands. Putin's playing the long game. Putin has shown a couple things. One, his army will kick our army's ass every single day of the week. There's no debate. There's not a general out there with four stars on his shoulder who doesn't employ nuclear weapons who will tell you, yeah, we got this. They don't. They know it. They got nothing. Not only that, they don't have any sanctions. Europe is not united. Blinken can smoke dope all day long and drop acid and have his little reflections. So can Biden. So can Jake Sullivan. Because that's what we're getting right now. It's pure fantasy. The reality is NATO is finished. You had a NATO member fly to Moscow and sign a special gas deal at a time when supposedly all NATO's united in rejecting Russian energy. Nope. Hungary says no. Croatia not only said, we're not giving you troops, but I don't know if people picked up on what the Croatian prime minister did to the British Secretary of Defense, who wanted to meet with him. So why would I meet with him? He's nothing. He's a nobody. The British have nothing to offer me. Get out of here. Plus, they quit the EU. I'm not going to deal with them. The Bulgarians, nope, we're not playing ball. The Turks, they're not playing ball. The Germans, they're not playing ball. The French, they're not playing. It's over. Italy, not playing ball. It's done. Finished. And you know what's going to replace it? Read that document. They said what they want to bring in is a law-based international order. A law-based international order, with the law being international law as set forth in the Charter of the United Nations. This is your classic Soviet/Russian/Chinese approach. Very legalistic, very legalistic, grounded in sound legal principles that the world has agreed to. And they're replacing the rules-based international order that Biden, Blinken, and all the other idiots in Washington, D.C. seem to think the world wants anymore. They don't. It's been rejected. The world will not be able to stand up against the Russian-Chinese combination here. The combination of Russian military strength Russian energy prowess and China's economic machinery, global economic machinery, I'd like people to remember. China dominates the global economy in a way that no other nation does. It's over. And the United States hasn't realized it yet. I mean, we got, you know, Joe Biden saying, I'm sending 3,000 paratroopers. Speed bumps. That's all they are. We're gonna redeploy some light armored vehicles to Romania. They're just basically it's you know, I'm sorry to say this about the troops, but it becomes a hibachi, because that's what's going to happen to any Americans inside these vehicles. Should they seek to close with and destroy the Russian enemy, they will be destroyed before they even know what happened to them. The electronic warfare capabilities of the Russians will make them all deaf, dumb, and blind. Then Russian long-range fires will come in and fry them. And it's not me just saying this. McMaster, General McMaster, used to be the national security advisor to Donald Trump. Prior to that, he was a lieutenant general. He was down at in Fort Leavenworth at the Army's think tank down there where the Jedi Knights train. And they came up with something called the New Russian Army Survey or Study. And in it, McMaster said, anybody thinks that we're going up against the Russians and we're going to prevail is going to be in for a very rude awakening. We don't have any capability anymore because we squandered it in Afghanistan. We squandered it in Iraq. We forgot everything we used to know. We used to be the best. Back in the 1980s, early 1990s, our combined arms warfare capability was unmatched. But we gave that all up so we could go out and kill a bunch of farmers in Iraq and goat herders in Afghanistan and still get our butts kicked. So, no, this isn't about Russia playing nice with the United States. It's over. Russia is making a strategic pivot away from the West. That's what's happening right now. It will take some time to completely disentangle. But, hey, Europe, United States, you lost Russia. And they're now in with China. And together, they are going to crush you like the bugs you are. Not necessarily militarily, because that's the last thing Russia wants or needs. But the combined economic and moral strength that comes out of the Russian-Chinese. You know, we're sitting here playing games at the Olympics. Oh, my God, they let a Uyghur light the flame. Oh, geez, what's going on here? That's no one cares. China is sitting there saying, we need to understand. And I think that what you talked, you know, I think you were alluding to this before we went on air about Ned Price being held to account by an AP reporter. The American government lies. Everything they say is a lie. Nothing is the truth. It's about perception, not reality. And we know this because Joe Biden, in his July 23rd conversation with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani, said right off the bat, whoa, don't talk to me about facts, buddy. I need you to get out there and you need to shape the perception of everything going good, even if it's not true. That's a direct quote from a sitting president of the United States. Under normal circumstances, you'd think he'd be impeached. But instead, nope, it's business as usual. Ned Price is out there shopping British garbage. That's what it is. The British, Ray knows this. He was in London with me when I exposed Mass Appeal, which was an Iraq-era British information operation where they leak things to the press to create an impression about Saddam Hussein. All lies. All lies. The British are at it again. That's what MI6 is good at, telling lies. And they're fabricating this lie, and the United States is shopping it. How shameful to have the State Department of the United States shopping British intelligence manufactured lies to the American people. Again, that should be a criminal offense. But no, we're all just saying, yeah.
Can I interject here just for a second?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I agree with Scott on a couple of these points. That is the disintegration of NATO. And I would add this, perhaps this wasn't noticed by anybody else, but we had the defense minister of Latvia last week telling the Financial Times that the Germans are immoral and hypocritical because they're so close to Moscow. Hello? I know the Germans well enough to know that this is not going to help unity in NATO. But on more profound points here, Scott is right on with respect to the military preponderance of the Russians in Europe. And that's precisely why Putin is not going to risk hostilities in Europe. Now, this has been clear for months, and it all depends on your appreciation of Putin. He's a statesman, in my view. He's very, very cautious. And even if, say, his generals say, oh, there's only a 20% chance that NATO will use nukes, Putin is not going to risk it. That's why he's so nervous that the U.S. might do something like a false flag attack in Ukraine to try to draw him in. He's not going to risk it. And so all this business about who would win in a war is beside the point. It's kind of, it may have been relevant a couple months ago. It no longer is. Where do we stand now? Well, we have the Russians agreeing, or the Russians entertaining the notion of agreeing to the non-paper. Now, the non-paper is the one that the U.S. issued in response to Russian wishes, their proposals in that draft treaty. And the non-paper says, you know, we're willing to talk about intermediate range ballistic missiles, the ones that we used to, as you know better than anyone, Scott, the ones that were destroyed, a whole class of ballistic missiles destroyed back in late 1980s, and you were one of the inspectors watching them be destroyed. We'd like to get back to that, says the non-paper from the U.S. And I will just finish with pointing out that one has to pay really close attention to what Putin says. And what he said way back when they annexed Crimea, he said this: the emplacement of the so-called ABM sites in Poland and Romania are beyond the pale. And they are, the threat of this going in is quote, even more important, end quote, than the prospect of Ukraine joining NATO. Now, Putin doesn't waste words. He said this several times as recently as last December on the 21st when he told his military, this is what bothers me, Poland, Romania, and guess what? The U.S. non-paper says, yeah, we can talk about this. Let's talk about it. So I don't think Putin is at all concerned about getting a piece of paper signed by anybody prohibiting Ukraine from joining NATO. That's academic. That's passé. That ain't going to happen anything. The president himself said they ain't going to happen, okay? What he's interested in is concrete steps to reduce the prospect that he might be given only 5 to 7 minutes to judge whether he unleashes war that would be the end of this planet. That's big. That's what he's worried about. We ought to be thankful that he's as cautious, judicious, and well-balanced as he is. He's got China on his side now. That made all the difference last year. Now he's talking from a position of strength, 2 against 1.
Scott Ritter, you did bring up Ned Price, so I want to ask you about that because, you know, I jokingly brought up the old, you know, Welch, have you no decency left, sir? Have you left no sense of decency remark during the McCarthy period? But the State Department has been able to basically say whatever they want, and it is echoed throughout the media echo chamber without question. I thought it was of consequence that Matt Lee, that an AP reporter said, why should we believe you? What I've been saying, what we've been saying here, why should I believe you after weapons of mass destruction and all the lies? Do you think that that was, what do you think about that?
Well, wait a minute. Because that comment comes after Jen Psaki comes out and says, well, we're not going to use the word imminent anymore because we think we conveyed the wrong message. Right. When we use the word imminent. So the United States, so Jen Psaki is changing the narrative
right
before everybody's eyes, but trying to say, I'm not really changing the narrative.
Yeah. So, and it's like Matt Lee's like, I've had enough. Exactly. You people are liars.
Exactly.
But we just don't see that in the mainstream media. How important is that? Well, your thoughts on this, Scott Ritter?
I think it's a critical moment in U.S. government or Biden administration media relations. You know, the Rubicon has been crossed. Somebody that has very solid journalistic credentials has called out Ned Price, and in doing so called out the State Department, and in doing so called out the Biden administration and the U.S. government as a whole. And even CNN, who's been just nothing but a cheerleader for the Biden administration, was compelled to hold a panel where they said, no, we really do need to be asking these questions. Of course, Jim Sciutto, their national security dude, said, yes, but you do have to understand that in the intelligence business, they can't release everything. When Ned Price spoke, he implied that there was a declassification of intelligence. That means that there was a product that went through a declassification review, and elements of that product were selected. Show me the product. I mean, that's what needs to happen, is you release the product. You know, we've done this before. This isn't the first time the U.S. government has, you know, reached into its intelligence troves. Ray knows this. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, we put photos up there. You know, we didn't just say, hey, trust us, they're putting missiles in Cuba. We put photos up there and confronted the Russians with it. During the shoot down of Korean Airlines, we played audio tape of the pilot shooting down the airplane. We can do it. Now, we've also put Colin Powell in front of people and lied. So you know, it doesn't always play to our benefit. But the point is, if you got it, flaunt it, maybe. Ned Price has nothing. The U.S. government has nothing. That's the point. The emperor is naked, and the media is just sitting there going, hey, nice clothes, man. Yeah, a nice suit.
Scott Ritter?
Yeah.
Scott Ritter, Ned Price has the evidence because he said he had the evidence because he said it. Now, Scott, what more do you need? If Ned Price says it, what more do you need?
Well, if Ned Price says it, I know it's a lie.
There's just no satisfying you, Scott Ritter.
E.F. Hutton, he ain't. Ray, he's and by the way, Ned Price is what? Former CIA analyst. Anyway, Ray, your thoughts on Ned Price?
Yeah, I had a thought on Matt Lee. Now, Matt Lee was particularly persistent and a little acerbic yesterday, and I think I know why. He's been putting out a lot of garbage for AP. Look at his byline. He's joined with some flack in Moscow, and he's been putting all this garbage about an imminent invasion and all this stuff, and he feels like he's been led down the garden path, and he's finished with it. That's, in my view, if you look at Matt Lee's production over the last 2 weeks, you'll see why he feels so deceived, so betrayed, and so eager to put Price on the spot.
Top Senate Democrat slams Biden administration for negotiating with Iran to revive the JCPOA. Bob Menendez, the chair of the Foreign Relations Committee in the Senate, slams Biden's plan for trying to revive the JCPOA. Your thoughts, Scott Ritter?
Well, first of all, Bob Menendez, I mean, we should just stop right there. The man has no credibility whatsoever. I don't even want to get into his corruption aspects. That's just personal. I'm just talking about, let's look at his record when it comes to foreign policy. The man is a chicken hawk. He's a warmonger. He's in bed with the defense industry. And therefore, he only has one message to put out there, and that's the message that improves Raytheon and Lockheed Martin's stock, because that's all he cares about. He doesn't care about American troops. He doesn't care about American security. He doesn't care about world security. He only cares about the bottom line of the defense industry. And this is a statement of fact. Unfortunately, he's the senior Democrat on I think it was the Armed Services Committee. Foreign Relations Committee. So he's a very influential individual. But at the end of the day. It's just posturing, because you know how much influence the Foreign Relations Committee has on foreign affairs of the United States? Joe Biden knows this because he used to be the head of it. Zero. Foreign policy is the sole prerogative of the executive branch. They can receive advice and consent, not advice on treaties. It's consent. But the Senate can offer advice, and the House, of course, has the power of the purse. But at the end of the day, Menendez doesn't get a vote. He's not in the White House Situation Room making policy. He doesn't sit at Foggy Bottom whispering into Blinken's ear. So this is done for newspapers. This is done for public consumption. This is posturing done by Menendez on behalf of his military-industrial complex clients. This is why, you know, what Eisenhower spoke of the military-industrial congressional complex, because Menendez is the living embodiment of the congressional aspect of that little conglomerate there.
And Ray McGovern, the Mickey Mat. There are a number of Mickey Mat elements here because Menendez is playing to the media.
Well, he is, and the media has not yet come around to realize that some elements in the Biden administration have their head screwed on correctly. I want to just add something relating to the joint statement today, because it is quite remarkable. And one is that toward the end, and you have to read through a lot of turgid prose to get there, it says the two sides reaffirm their new interstate relations are superior to political and military alliances of the Cold War era. Friendship between these two states, our two states, has no limits, period, end quote. Well, we had heard that Xi said in a telephone conversation with Putin that their relationship exceeds is the word in Russian and in Chinese, exceeds in closeness and in effectiveness, a traditional alliance. Well, now this is big. Now, seeing is believing. People will have to say, well, if she says that right out in the open at the Olympics, it's got to be believed. And as far as core interests are concerned, I think I mentioned that both agreed, one China principle, Taiwan must not be independent. Number two, as the Chinese agreed, the enlargement of NATO, it should abandon that and abandon its ideological approach. And then number three, which is also core interest, says the sides call on the U.S. Now, listen to this, to respond positively to the Russian initiative and abandon plans to develop intermediate range and shorter range ground-based ballistic missiles, both in Europe and in the Asia Pacific area. Those are the Raytheon missiles made. Those are the Tomahawk missiles made by Raytheon for $2 million a throw. So this couldn't be a more effective demonstration for anybody who cares that China is standing right behind Russia now. And that is why Putin is filling his oats. It all happened last year when those dopes in the State Department told Biden to tell Putin, look, we know you got a problem with China. We know that they're pressing you. They're squeezing you. We understand. Putin says, where does this guy get this information? And he and Xi set to educating Biden. He's educated now. And so there's a reasonable prospect that all this business about war, about a Soviet or Russian invasion of Ukraine, can be put after a decent burial in the vault or in the grave that it belongs.
Scott.
I'm going to just say this again. Ray, I disagree with you as vociferously I can on that. It would be true if it was a NATO-Russia thing about Ukraine. But when you have the United Kingdom and Poland setting up a separate defense pact with Ukraine, now you have a situation where the war will begin outside of NATO and then draw NATO in. For instance, if Ukraine, backed by British and Polish assurances of defense cooperation, initiates an action that generates a Russian retaliation, Russia will smash Poland. And now Poland will invoke Article 5, and now you have a NATO war. Putin's not playing around. He didn't put those troops in the field just for a bluff. It's there. It's a loaded gun. And he's telling NATO, don't push me on this one because I will pull the trigger. I don't think that this is done for show. I think there's a very real risk of war, and it's going to be incumbent upon NATO to back down, not Russia.
Scott Ritter, Ray McGovern, gentlemen, thank you both so much. Really appreciate it. We look forward to having you back.
Most welcome.
Thanks.
Folks, you've been listening to The Critical Hour here on Radio Sputnik. Thank you for allowing our voices into your space. On behalf of myself and my co-host, Garland Nixon, we hope you were informed and enlightened, and we look forward to talking with you all right here next week on Radio Sputnik. Be safe. Peace and blessings. We're out.